Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, July 23rd, about an hour post equity market open with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just swell today, Scott. Yourself?
Doing well. Obviously, we have a busy couple of weeks ahead of us for various reasons, which we will cover in just a minute. But first, let's dive into the major indices and what we've seen since last podcast. So we have an S&P down about 1.5%, NASDAQ down about 2.5%. Dow down 1.75, a Russell down 1, and I think the reasoning for the aforementioned is crude oil up 16% over the last 5 trading sessions, which obviously has an impact economically, which will bleed into investments as well. So, that's something that we're going to have to continue to contend with, monitor. It has a far-reaching impact. And so before we jump into the main thing that it impacts, let's talk about, Carl, if you want to cover some of the earnings, big earnings that we have coming up, really the remainder of this week, next week, and the following.
Oh yeah, it's that time of the quarter where the highest weighted stocks, highest weighted companies in the S&P are starting to show their earnings. This is what makes the market move quickly, which is why we're going to see some volatility. Today, we are seeing volatility, and we have Google was the first one on the chopping block, and they're the first ones that were able to show what their earnings were. The interesting part is, not only do they beat earnings, Scott, they blew them out of the water. They were only anticipated to make $2.87 a share, and they made $9.11. They absolutely blew their earnings out of the water. Everything is going great for Google, but we have Google down 6.5% as of the time we're recording this. And that kind of makes you wonder what's going on. Well, it's the same thing that's been happening over the last few earnings. All these earnings have been doing really well. However, because they are still getting loans, taking on debt for their AI expansion, their buildouts, their even as much income as they're making on these earnings, they are still spitting out more to be able to build out the infrastructure for their AI sectors. And that's kind of what we're going to be looking at over the next week, because next week is when we get some more people, the Microsofts, Apple, Amazon, everyone's coming to the table pretty much next week. And this will be a pretty good indicator on what do investors, what does the institution, what do retail traders really look at? And they're looking at the fact that, hey, you may be doing really well, but you're taking on way more debt than you needed to or that we are comfortable with. So we're going to take a little bit of profit here and kind of let it flatten out, kind of let the volatility settle before we get back in. And
Well,
that's kind
sort
of
of
what we're
like,
seeing today.
yeah, sort of like it's like institutional investors sort of deleveraging their portfolios, which is, and that's why you see Apple in the portfolios as opposed to some of these others, because, and I've said this for a long time, and the reason I have owned a lot of Apple for many, many, many years, because they have, the way I've always put it is they have more cash on hand than the US government. So, they don't have to take necessarily have to. I mean, they won't, but they don't necessarily have to take on debt in order to make improvements to their product line, right? But particularly in the AI space. And so they are playing more of the long game. You and I, before we hit record, talked about how I wouldn't be surprised if they will do some innovation for sure, but they will also hold on to a lot of that cash to gobble up companies that have lended their way to this product line, and now they're, in massive amounts of debt, which will devalue them, and Apple will just come in and buy them and buy their technology. And that's, to me, that's really the better way to advance in this space, because it's going to be so highly competitive, and they've done this before, but they will, really get a large amount of these smaller companies, take the best piece of each one of their technology, and now all of a sudden they're one of the industry leaders, which there will be a few of in that space. And I think it's brilliant. I think they'll do that in some other spaces as well. They've talked about it actually, but yeah, that's an interesting point, and I think we're going to continue to see that over the next couple of weeks, because that's been such a hot topic really over the last, what, 18 months, 24 months. in terms of AI. And so you can't go a day, or I can't at least, without hearing somebody say something about AI. So obviously it's not going away. But again, I point towards why I personally have owned it for so many years and why it's in our portfolios as well. So we'll continue to have to cover that piece. Carl, let's go ahead and because this has a very important factor on these particular companies being interest rate sensitive, more so than most. So this would be a good opportunity to jump on over into Carl's corner.
We do have some updated probabilities. We're still not looking at a rate cut, or sorry, a rate hike in July. It's still probability is supposed to be a stay, not doing anything, and still looking at possibly October as the first rate hike. Now, these have shifted drastically due to oil prices, right? This is where they kind of correlate. And if we have listeners out there that listen to us every week, you've heard this exact thing I'm about to say a couple months ago when we went through it the first time. Oil touches everything. And when it touches everything and oil goes high, that causes inflation to go high. And what we can't have is an interest rate lower than inflation, because that means inflation will never be quashed. So when oil is now making it rise up again, that means your inflation numbers are going to come up, just like we saw the last few months, last month notwithstanding, because we had that pause, which will add to the probabilities of the rate hike. And that's the key thing that we're watching, are these oil prices and how they correlate with these probabilities and how much they do in fact touch each other. And this comes at the time where next week, along with the earnings of five of the top seven companies of market cap, is we have our federal meeting, right? We have Warsh coming through. They're going to have the Federal Open Market Committee. They're going to go over everything. We're going to get a new dot plot. There's going to be a lot of volatility next week as we have earnings and what the Fed's going to do with interest rates kind of laid out over the next 2 months.
Let me interject real quick. I would be curious to take a poll, if we could, to determine over under how many times Warsh sa says crude oil prices or oil prices, and as opposed to addressing anything in the Middle East. I think that'll be his way of addressing the Middle East by continuing to talk about over and over how oil prices are affecting interest rates, i.e., how interest rates are affecting the major indices or the equity market and treasury markets. So that'll be interesting. I would say at least 10 times will he mention energy and oil prices. What do you think?
Absolutely, because that's the number one thing they're going to be talking about amongst themselves, amongst the governors inside that meeting, is, hey, what do we see as oil prices? Does anyone have a guidance on when all the Hormuz is going to be fully open and we're going to have the free flow of oil again? Do we have any guidelines on that? Any date frames? They're going to be talking about it so much because that's the number one factor. This July meeting is going to be pretty much 100% about what oil prices are doing and what they anticipate them doing, which is going to show the probabilities. And we've already seen Warsh on his first press conference. He is much more apt at giving more information than Powell ever was. So we'll see that from him on the press conference. And people are going to ask him point blank because now they know someone's going to answer when they get asked. They're going to ask him point blank about oil prices and what they think is going to happen with the inflation and interest rates.
And as you've heard me talk about many, many times in the past, what he says in the press conference or the post conference is going to be so very important. And to me, what's even more important is when you hear some of these Fed governors, a week, 2 weeks out from the Fed meeting, to hear their opinions, right? Because while he is very influential and the head man, they do get a say so, and they do sometimes have, well, a lot of times have varying opinions. And so it'll be interesting to see if anybody else is Really, what would be more important is that if anybody else is even more hawkish than he is. I don't really anticipate that on this meeting, but it will be one that we will be listening very closely to, because if you think about it, we're coming into a stretch that historically can be high in volatility, and that's August, but particularly September, October. So it's going to be very important to monitor the next couple of meetings. It's going to be very important to rebalance the portfolios as well. And so we'll be over the next couple of weeks talking about adjustments that we make there. We have some really good sector ideas. We have some really good strategic ideas that fall in line with the whole, macro, statistical, seasonal, and technical. And speaking of statistical, I did have an interesting stat here for you. So across the average Wall Street strategist S&P year-end price target, it comes in at 78.45. So that would put the S&P year-end at right at 15%. So I find that interesting because we've covered many statistics. And again, in one-on-one meetings, I've said this a bunch, but of all the statistics we've seen, it's a huge range. But the low end was 15% and the high end was 32%. And so we've been talking about 15% for, gosh, maybe every podcast this year.
And that's 15% with all of these inflationary issues that have come across since essentially February.
That's
This
right.
market was really primed to be in rate cut territory and really going to be able to be sent into that 2030 range. But with the inflation and the fact that we still have the ability to have 15% of the overall market when there's possibility of rate hikes, that speaks volumes to where investors really believe that this market is going and how strongly they believe in this market.
That's right. It's just proven how resilient the markets are. But to your point, obviously, well, I always refer to it as markets, but in reality, it's comprised of market participants. And so it does show their optimism. And I'm optimistic personally. I don't have, well, I have very few, let's say, bearish positions in my portfolio at the moment. So I would have to join that camp as well. I mean, I'm very much looking for even a bit higher than 78.45 personally. So, yeah, even though we will see bouts of volatility over the next couple of months, I think we're in for a really strong, what we call Santa Claus rally, which is essentially just the going into the very end of the year, November, December, end of October, November, December. So I'm pretty excited. We're going to have the portfolios position for those two different segments, right? The high volatility coming up, and then the Santa Claus rally going into the end of the year. And I think it's going to provide a myriad of opportunities. So with that, Carl, did you have anything else you wanted to cover?
I think I just want to say one more time for any listeners out there, next week is going to be extremely volatile. So if you're an everyday market watcher, just be aware of that. You're going to see it shift both directions. It's going to go higher, it's going to go lower. Just be aware that is going to be on the horizon next week. There's just too many catalysts happening, too many big names with earnings, as well as the Fed. It's just going to be volatile. So just keep that in mind if you're an everyday market watcher. But other than that, if any listener thinks someone might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Perfect. Well, with that, then we're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we are absolutely going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.